Beloved community, good to see you today. Thank you for joining us today here at Southwest Central. No matter if you're here in person like you are, or if you're watching online on Facebook like you are. So thanks for joining us either way, or both. I know some of you turn on the service on your phone as it's happening right here in real time. So that's great too. You can make comments to our friends who are watching that way. So thanks. Also, thanks to Steve Sandifer, who preached on my behalf last week. I had a fun little surgical procedure, and I have a scar on my forehead to prove it, but it's not in the shape of a Z quite yet, much to Cora's dismay, but maybe it will grow into that. I think Steve is up in Oklahoma today, and we're missing him. All right, if you are watching online, now's a great time to gather communion supplies, bread, juice, wine, water, whatever you're using for that. We'll share in the Lord's Supper as we do every single week, a little bit later in our service. And if you are here, now is also a good time to take some of these cards that you see up on the screen. Let us know you're here. Send some encouragement. If you have any prayer requests, we can send those to the shepherds and make sure that they take care of those for you in prayer. All right, Psalm 90 is our psalm today. I'm going to read this. And then I will light our Christ candle, and then Larry will come and lead us in a few more songs. Will you stand, please, for the reading of Psalm 90? Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the world and the earth, from beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. For you, 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom."
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, till 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content, what whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, by his hand he leadeth me. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. Ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and in blessed light, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Please join me in reciting the call to discipleship as found in Mark chapter 8. As we do so, I ask you to reflect on how this challenge of Jesus, as recorded by Mark, has shaped your own walk of faith. Jesus called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. By and by through the shining portals, turning our feet, we shall walk with the glad immortals heaven's golden street. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
Please remain standing as Andrea reads our
text from Mark.
I have lots of good memories of that last song. Sweet old lady in my church that taught it to us in Bible class when we were little, with little pictures. Okay, so Mark 10:17-31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "I have kept all of these since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then could be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With human beings, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up. "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
There's a slide we haven't seen in a while up on our screen, our Roots Kids. Roots was designed maybe 10 or so years ago. Brandy was really influential in getting that started. This is a time of worship for the youngest kids among us, the youngest children among us, where they would go off to a room during the sermon and worship together. We're going to try to kickstart that again, but in a different way. We're going to have a Roots table in the back. This is for children up through elementary age, if they want to be a part of this and if their parents allow. And we'll have an adult sit at this table just in the very back over here. And right after the sermon, they can be dismissed and released back to their parents' seats as we share communion together. So if you are a child and want to be a part of that, Miss Brandy is going to go back to the table with the blue tablecloth right next to the root sign, and you can join them there if you would like. There is no pressure to do so, though. Well, let's pray together, please. Oh God, you are our God. Earnestly we seek you. Open our eyes, open our ears, open our hands. Pour through me now the gift of preaching. This is our prayer through Christ. Amen. Jesus should know better than to talk about personal finances with someone in public. Most of us know this lesson. I don't ask about your bank account or credit card debt. You don't ask about my 401k or how much money I donate to where. Although our hasty judgments often lead us to name what tax bracket another person falls into simply by looking at them, we typically keep those thoughts and details hidden and quiet, since it's really none of my business. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. This policy also holds true for family gatherings, where talking about personal finances, or lack thereof, are generally off limits. Unless your family enjoys lively arguments and someone storming away from the dinner table, keep money away from the conversation, stuck into your sock drawer along with politics, parenting styles, love life, and how bad the Houston Texans are this year. Jesus should know better. But he doesn't. Either that, or he believes that money is too important of a conversation to ignore, especially in relation to discipleship. That seems more likely to me, given the section of Mark we are now in. A few weeks ago, we mentioned that Jesus is preaching his Sermon on the Way, which is the major turning point in this gospel. Matthew has the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus sits to preach. Luke has the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus stands to preach. Mark has the Sermon on the Way, where Jesus moves to preach, the direction of his feet as much of a lesson as his words. On the way, we read that Jesus asked his disciples who they thought he was, and though they got the answer right, their understanding was off. If you intend to come along with me, he taught them, you've got to deny yourself and let me lead. Embrace the cross of suffering. Follow me, and I will show you how. On the way, when a young father sought treatment for his son, Jesus taught about believing and unbelieving and prayer, and about betrayal and execution and resurrection. Last Sunday, Steve Sandifer preached about how the disciples argued about their greatness while they were on the way. And Jesus stopped mid-stride and taught them, with a child's help this time, that the world does not revolve around them or their worldview. Over the next two Sundays, there are two more on-the-way messages Jesus will teach. In today's part of the Sermon on the Way, Jesus is just leaving a scene where he plays the part of a human jungle gym, with children crawling all over him, and he blesses them with the hand and purpose of God. As Jesus starts on his way, a man runs up to him and falls on his knees. In other versions of this story, Luke says that the man is a ruler. Matthew says that he is young. Later in Mark, we'll find out that he is rich. Combining those together, he's traditionally known to us as the rich young ruler. But one verse in, all we know is that he is just a guy. Quickly, though, we discover he is a man with capital funds, not because we've been told yet, but because of the language he uses. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The word inherit naturally departs from the mouth of a man who knows a thing or two about money. It's what he thinks about. It's the language that sprinkles his vocabulary. It's what dictates his decisions. In his economy, you've got to do something to get something. Either by practice or by assimilation, the man also knows how to get what, where, from whom. That's why he tries a bit of flattery with Jesus, calling him good teacher. And the good teacher, who shall be impressed, will give him all the answers he needs to know. But before the man gets any wrong impressions, Jesus punctures a hole in the man's thinking, sticking a straight pin into his problem with self-inflation. Why are you calling me good? Only God is good. That same good God is the one who gave the Ten Commandments to Moses generations ago, which is what Jesus refers to here. Those ten are not ten unfussy ideas to spruce up your life, but expressions of the eternal life that God so desires. As Larry Watson so often and thankfully reminds us, eternal life is not just about going to heaven after you die, but about the kingdom of God here and now, ongoing and dynamic, vibrant and peacemaking, Christ-centered and Spirit-breathed. You want in on that? Jesus says to the man. You know the commandments? Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, honor your father and mother. I've kept all these since I was a boy, the man responds, cluing us in on his sincerity. Here's a man who does indeed love God. He paid very close attention in Sabbath school when he was a kid, and now applies those classes then to his days now. He wants to act rightly. What must I do? He had asked. The grown man may have kept all the kingdom commands since he was a boy, but the problem is that he has forgotten how to be a child. He has forgotten what it's like to play, to run, to race, to trade cards, to swap lunches, to see with wonder, to cry because of scraped knees, to bawl when a friend moves away, to write on walls with blue markers, to be corrected and forgiven, to crawl into a mother's lap and have her bless him. He has forgotten what it's like to have to depend on someone else, namely God. While he's accumulated more than his fair share and can gather even more just by pulling out his wallet, there's no need to pray, give me today my daily bread, because he can just buy it. As long as the money still flows in, he's only got to rely on himself. Like everyone else who has ever lived, there are a million reasons why adulthood makes us forget childhood. Responsibilities, innocence stolen, troubles come, temptations, recognizing the world is not as safe as you once thought it was, the plain fact of growing up. While no one can or should stay a child forever, let us also not forget that Jesus said this right before the rich man fell at his feet. Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Jesus loves the little children, every color, dark or light. Jesus looks at this man who is no longer a child, and the text says he loved him. Jesus doesn't get mad at him, doesn't condemn him, doesn't shame him, doesn't shake his head in disappointment. He looks at him and loves him very first thing. Though the man gets it wrong about inheritance, it's not about what you do to get a family inheritance, but how you receive it. Jesus nonetheless gives him something to do. Five things. In fact, here's what you're missing. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. Go, sell, give, come, follow. The man's vast wealth is a hindrance to following Jesus. And going, selling, and giving to the poor will unencumber him. It will release him of the need to balance his checkbook every hour on the hour. It will free him to come and follow. With his hands now unclenched, the inheritance he truly, madly, deeply wants, treasure in heaven, the kingdom of God, eternal life, salvation in all its beautiful and mysterious ways, is his. What an invitation. He extends the call to discipleship to this man, but the man loves his stuff and the privilege it brings him. Faced with this new command, the man's face falls to the ground, down to where his knees are still pressed into the dirt. Then he gets up and walks away grieving, the text says, because he had great wealth. Hard as it may have been, he makes his choice, what the direction of his life will be, and Jesus lets him go. While the man goes on his way, Jesus looks for a second time, now directly at his disciples. It doesn't say he looked at them and loved him like he did toward the rich young ruler, but you know that the same deep feeling of great love is there for the disciples too. He looks at them and loves them and says this, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples he is looking at are dumbfounded by a statement like that. Wouldn't a rich young ruler be a perfect candidate to join the Jesus way? Financial backing, the right age demographic, a person with influence. Plus, isn't wealth a sign of God's blessing? Why is Jesus treating it as a barricade? Think about it this way. Picture in your mind your ideal potential church member. They walk through the door and your first thought is, man, I hope that they've come to stay. Who's that that comes to your mind? Is it a man? A woman? Do they have some kids in tow? A spouse? What age are they? 20s, 40s, 60s? What's their race? Are they straight? Are they educated? And can they lead singing on the soprano line and sub in as a Bible teacher in a pinch? Do they appreciate Church of Christ history and know all 17 verses to Just As I Am? Can they contribute to the church's bottom line? Jesus' disciples have ideal potential members in their minds too. And the man now walking away from it was it. All because Jesus unthinkably demanded something too difficult. Jesus does not back off, though. He says it again with extra emphasis. Children, he says, reminding them of their first playground-oriented identity. how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples are flabbergasted. If not this guy, then whom? Can anyone be saved? Can anyone be a part of the kingdom of God movement the way that God so desires it? Can we, they wonder. For human beings, this is impossible, Jesus says, but not for God. For with God, all things are possible. There's no chance if you think you can pull this off by yourself, relying on your bootstraps and prosperity. Every chance in the world, though, if you let God do it, a grace that liberates into eternal kingdom life. And so we have two things at work here. One, the life and wholeness of God received as a gift, as the hand of blessing upon their heads. And two, the demand and call of discipleship where we let go of counterfeit luxuries so we can pick up a cross. Peter makes his case that he and the disciples have done both of them. We've left everything to follow you, and Jesus does not disagree and goes on to say that for everything you relinquish because of the kingdom, so much more will be received. Treasures upon treasures, but also troubles in the upside-down, last-go-first economy of God. What an invitation. You would not be wrong if you sense a tension in the text, especially for those of us with some means. Simply reading the text aloud can feel like an indictment against what we work so hard for. Or like the preacher is more interested in pointing fingers rather than examining his own soul. It's tempting then, when it comes to finances and discipleship, to say something less disruptive, something more general and rational. If I attempt to spiritualize the text, to reduce it to a few vague bullet points, I'm not sure what that would do except make us feel a little bit better about the choices we already made. The truth of the matter is that we live in a consumeristic culture, all of us, to which we are under its full charismatic spell. More often than we care to admit, we dwell under its expensive umbrella and bow to its idols, to the detriment of the environment, our neighbors, and our souls. Our propensity to accumulate stuff affirms our world's priority in making sure we keep buying its wares and trading its goods. Commercials, lobbyists, and marketing campaigns will make sure of that. And you don't have to follow that paper trail very long to discover just how frequently money and possessions determine who has the power over the many to make the decisions that benefit the few. The church, of course, is not immune from any of this. How many congregations do you know that have people who are poor in places of leadership? Meanwhile, the church hardly ever bats an eye at consumeristic behavior, as long as people inside of it adhere to other commands thought more religiously important. Don't murder, don't sleep around, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, you know. The bigger sins that are easier to call out and more reasonable to chisel on stone tablets at the courthouse. Against all that, here in Mark's gospel, Jesus looks at us disciples and loves us. He knows that the more stuff we have, the harder it is to let go of. He knows that the stuff we own has a strange and dangerous way of owning us. I've got something better for you, he says. Go, sell, give, come, follow. One of the best ways I know of to keep from falling prey to our culture's consumer spell is to keep giving stuff away. Opening our hands to see what's there and refusing to see our own image. Unloading a few things and offering the money to someone else who could use it frees you to live on behalf of others and for the sake of the kingdom of God. Jesus never said to the man in our story today to offer a portion of what he has, as we sometimes say in our prayers. Jesus says everything. You get to determine, as do I, what everything means. But we don't get to define what the come and follow me part does. We walk after Jesus on his own terms, not ours. And if our possessions or lust of them are weighing us down or causing us to fall behind, then we likely have our answer about the everything. All this, certainly, is as ridiculous as it is impossible. Who could live this way? How could you eat? Where would you sleep? How would you take care of your family? 1,000 what-if questions that require faith and a dependence on God to give you exactly what you need. Questions that can only be answered as you do it. Without so much stuff crowding about you anymore, such a reliant faith has room to grow. This week, I have thought a lot about our brother, Stu Zimmerman, who died just 8 days ago. I loved Stu. We all love Judy. Stu was not a man without some means, and with those means, he meant to do treasures in heaven kind of good. In fact, he was quietly one of the best church inviters that we had, rivaling Jesse Gay and a few others. Did you know that? Stu consistently gave me money to place ads online about Southwest Central, or to rebuild our website. He would never have let me tell you this while he was living, but 2 years ago, I mentioned to him my desire for a new church sign out front, and he said, "Get after it." I did, and he did too. And the single seed money he planted, I believe, will, even in his death, continue to bear much fruit. Thanks be to God for Stu's life. I finish today by also wondering about the man, the one in our story. How did his life turn out? He walked away grievous and distraught because he was a man of great wealth. Was that the end of his story? Or did he go home and think and deliberate and consider and wrestle and discern with his faith community? And eventually, did he conclude that Jesus was right? Did he sell his stuff and give it away? Did he come and follow Jesus' sermon on the way, if not in person, but in spirit? Did the rich young man become, in time, a poor old beggar, empty-handed but full of joy? If he did, it was not of his own doing. That would have been impossible, but not with God. For all things, every single thing, is possible with God. And together, friends, we say or we type, amen and amen. Let's stand and worship, please.
blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit, holy and harmless, patient and brave, meekly enduring cruel reproaches, willing to suffer others to save. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
One of the ways God stamps Christ's own image deep in our hearts is that we get to share this bread and this cup every single Sunday. And what a gift it is to do this together as one body. So I'm going to pray as we have become accustomed to doing. I'm going to ask a couple folks, if you want to come help me serve this bread and the cup today, you can do that. You can just join me up here after I pray. So let's do that now, please, and then we'll eat and drink together. O God, who is not lacking, we give you thanks for what you have given us. We give you thanks not only for our possessions, the things that we have in our lives, but also and especially for this bread and for this cup. Thank you for Christ, who not only lives in it, but lives among us, that we get to see through it. So thanks for these gifts today, and thanks for this church, who in a thousand ways is so generous. Make us even more so. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. And serving with them. So thank you to our young friends and to Ruth for serving today. All right, you see a couple of other guys coming up here. Alex and Glenn are going to walk around in just a bit. If you have an offering to give, you can place it in the tray. And as always, you can give online, you can drop it in the mail, you can bring it to the office, and we'll take care of it that way. Let's pray together, and then Alex and Glenn, y'all can walk around. As before, O God, I give you thanks for the generosity of this congregation. Thank you for their hearts who love you and love other people. And so would you, by your goodness and by your mystery, expand their gifts more than what we give. And by it, may your kingdom come and your will be done. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. King, I'll try to flip it myself up here. We are continuing our Thursday Bible class. Andrea Engel is leading this discussion every Thursday, 10:30 on Zoom, and King is your connection point if you want to be a part of that. King, I'm going to let you go to the next one. There it is. So I announced 2 weeks ago, and maybe it was announced last week as well when I wasn't here, our annual Chunk or Treat. It has gone by various names over the last 15 years. This year it is Chunk or Treat, and as we've done with Willow Meadows the last 5 or so years, not including last year, we are partnering with them once again at their parking lot for this Chunk or Treat event. In our newsletters, and I think even our bulletin, you can see a link where you can go and sign up if you have capability to do that, and just letting us know that you're here. If you can't do that or choose not to click on that link, there are some forms that King left out at the back table, and also the one where the bulletins are located. You can fill that out just to let us know that you're going to come, that you can decorate the back of the car, or you're going to dress up, or you're willing to help out in some other way. If you'll turn those in the next couple weeks, I think it's 2 weeks from today. So I hope that you can be a part of that. It's from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. We'll give you a few more details in the upcoming weeks. All right. King is the next on the video. Yeah, don't push that yet. I'll show you that in just a minute. I want to start by sharing just some really good news of our congregation, things that are happening. Most of you by now have maybe seen Alex and Jessica's Facebook posts and maybe been a part of their texting stream that God's faithfulness has taken care of the Vaughns once again. We've been praying for years that a new adoptive child would come into their lives, and that happened just about a week and a half ago now. And we give thanks to God for that, Alex. It's beautiful. In the upcoming weeks, whenever we can, we will definitely do a full-out baby blessing and also a baby shower. I know that many of you would love to help with those things. So we'll keep those in mind and make sure that both of those happen. I think it was 3 weeks ago now, it may have been 2 weeks ago now, I can't remember, that Ford Matt stood up here and we blessed him as he was the very next day shipping off to boot camp in Missouri. And he said that he would keep us updated. So he sent me a video. And so, King, how's the audio? Here we go.
Hey, Church.
Let's turn it up a little bit.
I was just going to tell you, I'm currently in basic training at Fort Leonard Wood. I'm doing well. I miss all of you. I'm currently attending church every Sunday. I hope you're all doing well. Keep doing what you're doing, and I will hopefully see you guys soon. Love you, church family. Bye.
I think that 20 seconds is all he could get to have time to get away and make a video, but I'm so glad that he did. Hopefully in your bulletin you've seen his address. Let's flood that mailbox with a bunch of cards and letters. I don't know if he can use gift cards or anything like that. We can find out. But if you want to send just a note of encouragement, tell him that we love him too and we got his video. I know that he would appreciate that. All right, I have one more thing that I want to share. See if a second picture comes up, King. Yeah, right there. So right now, Caleb and Ellery are down in Cozumel, Mexico. You may remember, 5, 6, 7 years ago, quite a few of us went down to Cozumel, and we served at Ciudad de Angeles, which is a basically a residence for children without parents, and they have house parents, and all sorts of great things are going on there. Ellery has, over the years, grown up basically with the girl in the middle, Paloma, and they went this weekend to celebrate her quinceañera, who she just turned 15. And so that's the outdoor party going on the right, which is on the campus at Ciudad, and we're so glad that they got to be a part of that and the fruit that continues to happen in that place. So those are great pictures. Thanks, Brandy. A couple other things I want to share with you before we are sent out. Oh, yeah, Bible classes. We have these today all over this building, and we sure hope that you stick around and stay a part of those, please. I mentioned during my sermon Stu Zimmerman's passing 8 days ago. His service, I think it's in your bulletin. It is this upcoming Saturday in the Montrose area, visitation at 10, service at 11, and small reception afterward to follow, and a private graveside service around 2 o'clock. You are welcome to come and be a part of that and honor Stu's life. We also, maybe you've heard that Retha Geyer, Lori Tucker's mom, passed away just a few days ago, and I believe the memorial service, the funeral, was in Missouri just yesterday. So we want to remember Lori and Michael and their whole family today. One more, you have also may have heard that Martha Clark's son, Jerry Clark, died just a couple of, I think it was yesterday. And we love Martha, and so we grieve with her today. So send her a text, a card, a call, and I know that she would appreciate hearing from you. There are no service plans as of yet that I know of, but we'll keep you updated there. Lastly, Casey Fry contacted us and asked that we pray for her. She is having cancer surgery in just under 2 weeks. And so we want to honor her and do that this morning. So lots to pray about, and I'm going to do so as our benediction today. So would you please stand and let's be sent out in prayer and blessing, and we will go forth from here. In the midst of so many literal family matters, God, we give you simultaneously thanks and our sadness. We give you thanks for your faithfulness to the Bonds. We give you thanks for the work that Ellery and Caleb are doing in Cozumel. And we give you all the praise and blessings there. And our hearts are also heavy for the things that are going on within our own church family with Martha Clark and Jerry's passing, with Casey Fry and her upcoming surgery, with the passing of Stu and the passing of Retha. We entrust all of these people to you, all of their families to you. As we have talked about today, God, we also want to or do entrust all of our lives to you. You are everything, so we give everything to you. Bless this church as we go forth, and we pray again that your kingdom would come, your will would be done, on earth and in this place, just as it is in heaven. Through Christ we pray. Amen.